Okay, so the commentary on this Luke 21, verses 29 through 23 passage that Kaufman wrote. He wrote, it's a page and a half that he wrote. And he starts out, throughout this discourse, Jesus was giving prophecies related to two future events. The destruction of Jerusalem with its temple and his second coming in glory. Therefore, Jesus' use of the word generation in this passage requires it to be understood in two senses. It has a perfect application to both events when so understood. Now, Jesus foretold the passing of ages before his return. So it would not be soon. There would be ages before his return. Kaufman's comment is, one of the most common errors among the sophisticated with regard to Jesus is the notion that our Lord thought that his second coming was an event in the near future, with the result that the early Christians expected Christ to come in glory during their own lives. It is true, of course, that some of the early Christians did expect the speedy return of Christ in their own times, but that was not due to anything that Jesus either did or taught, nor to anything that the apostles taught or wrote. So, unfortunately, some of the Christians misunderstood in the first century what Jesus had said and what got recorded, that it was going to be a long time and a delay in Jesus' coming. But Kaufman was saying here that misunderstanding was not Jesus' fault, because it can clearly be understood correctly, but Jesus is not to blame for the Christians, some of the Christians in the first century, to misunderstand, thinking that Jesus was going to end the earth in 70 AD also. Okay. In fact, early Christians were guilty of the same sin of inattention to what Jesus had emphatically taught as people are today. So, in the first century, those early Christians were guilty of inattention, as are many, unfortunately, today are guilty of inattention. Luke 21 emphatically reveals that countless ages were to go by before the final coming of Christ in glory. A summary of Luke 21 could be stated this way. Jesus taught that even before the destruction of Jerusalem, a considerable time would elapse, and that after that time, again a considerable time, when one after another of the Gentile nations, in plural, would in turn rule over Jerusalem. Okay, so there would be a one generation time, which that could be considered a considerable time. 40 years is a long time. But then there would be a much longer time after that, and then Gentile nation after Gentile nation would rule over Jerusalem in this long period of time before Jesus comes to destroy the earth. And only when the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, and that's obviously a long period of time, will be Jesus' second coming. Okay, that was his summary of this chapter. And now I'll continue here. It is in the broader context of what Jesus did here that one finds the most certain proof of all that he envisioned ages, not some short span, as elapsing before the second coming. And what did Jesus do to make this explanatory? That there would be a long time before his second coming. Kaufman came up with three things. First, he combined prophecies of the destruction of Jerusalem in such a manner as to make the first event a type of the second. Number two, he outlined events that would happen before Jerusalem was destroyed, even predicting the martyrdom of some of the 12 before that event took place 40 years after he spoke. And number three, by choice of an event 40 years in the future, making it a type of his second coming, and by the declaration of an interval between them, which would allow time for successive nations, as indicated by the word times And he emphasizes that's plural. So you know this is going to be times, but the times of the Gentiles. So it's not going to be a short time. It's going to be multiple times. So a long time. And that would hold dominion over Jerusalem. That the Gentiles would hold dominion over there would be multiple nation over multiple times in a long time. To hold dominion over Jerusalem, the Lord made it certain that all future people would be able to discern his clear meaning, namely that ages, not mere years or decades, would pass before his return. So he said that this is how Jesus made it clear that there would be ages of time, a long age of time, and not just mere years or decades or even centuries. You know, we've been 2,000 years, 2 millennia has passed, and he is still not returned, but that does not mean that it has been too long. Okay, it was the divine wisdom of our Lord that led him to meld the prophecies regarding Jerusalem and the second coming, providing just enough uncertainty that each generation in turn might suppose the end to be possible in his own day. And now we know this, nearly every generation, I don't know about all through history, but I am somewhat confident that it probably happened. But we all know about, in our lifetime, that you constantly hear coming up, at least from time to time, that, oh, Jesus is going to return soon. This is it. These are signs of the times, they falsely claim. But Jesus is going to soon return. And they come up with, these are the signs. Right now, we're in one of these times that it is very prevalent of people saying that, oh, these tough economic conditions that we are undergoing, and the war in Russia and Ukraine, these are all signs that Jesus is going to return soon. I've heard quite a few people on the internet claim this. So we're in one of these times that Kaufman said that Jesus, by wording how he worded these things to the apostles, that's covered in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, He provided just enough uncertainty that every generation supposes that the earth will end during their lifetime. And now, let's just think back. In the 80s and 90s, as I was growing up, I remember denominational preachers, false teachers, and on TV, these televangelists, and they were talking about different things that they came up with. That these are signs that Jesus is going to return soon. And they knew that Jesus was going to return soon in the 80s and 90s. And then I've heard about other people that did calculations. And there was somebody that in the 70s, and I think 70s and 80s and 90s, different people had done mathematical calculations that they knew the exact date that Jesus was going to return. Well, number one, it's going to be impossible. Jesus said himself that he didn't even know. Only God the Father knew when Jesus would return to end the earth. And so there's no mathematical calculation. I've heard for World War I and World War II, people thought that that was going to be the end of the world. And then there was another denomination that their leader came up with 1914 was going to be the end of the world. Well, none of these were true because there's not going to be any signs. And then J.W. McGarvey, I read quite a while back that he lived during the Civil War in the 1860s, and he wrote that there were many people that thought that that was going to be the end of the world, that the end of the world was going to come there in their generation because of the so much turmoil and fighting with how disastrous that Civil War was. Well, that was not it. And then the last event that I'll mention is I saw a documentary a while back about the what was then known as the Dark Ages, but about the bubonic plague and the Black Death plague. and that killed a third of all of Europe is what history recorded. And that was a massively bad plague. Nothing like this coronavirus. This coronavirus is just like a common cold. Nothing of any big importance at all compared to that Black Death. That was a pestilence of pestilences. And people thought that the end of time was going to happen in their generation. Well, that was in the 1500s. And that did not happen there either. So, but I never heard this statement, but Kaufman, I think this is a good statement, that Jesus provided just enough uncertainty that each generation in turn might suppose that the end of time would be possible in their own day. And so we can know about and look about in history that this is a true statement. That essentially every generation has thought that the end of the world was going to come during their lifetime. And they've all been wrong. But that doesn't mean that Jesus is not going to return. He will return at some point, but it's going to be on God's time frame, not on man's time frame. Okay, he finishes up with two paragraphs. Heaven and earth shall pass away. This is a positive declaration that an end or termination will come to the earth and its environment. The end of the world was mentioned in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, and Peter said, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. And we covered that last week. Okay, that's from 2 Peter 3:13. Now, my word shall not pass away. None but God could have a certainty regarding his word, and the passing ages have only confirmed the superlative truth of this statement. 20 centuries have passed so far, and evil men will spend half a lifetime trying to prove one little fragment of God's word to be false. But such is a hopeless endeavor. The sun, moon, and stars will disappear more quickly than the words of our Lord. Okay, so we will end there, and Lord willing, next week we will finish up with the last five verses and finish up with Luke chapter 21.